Well, thanks for tuning in again to another installment of these podcasts that we've been putting together. This week, I sit down with Tanya Hunt, and she's got some great insight and stories about some of what her experience has been in fasting, particularly in this season. She's right in the middle, like many of us are, in a fast, and share some of the insights she's already gaining from that. So tune in. Glad you're here with us, and we'll get started right away. Welcome back to one of these podcasts that we've been doing. We've been putting together a series of podcasts to try to help a specific church family, the Harpeth Hills Church, navigate a season of prayer and fasting that we have entered into in anticipation of Easter and really preparing ourselves for Easter, much the way the Lenten season is designed to do. And so because our fellowship is not accustomed necessarily to fasting, many of us grew up and didn't hear a lot about fasting, we've been trying to provide some resources, one, to just keep the conversation going, and two, to keep us all engaged with each other, to know you're not the only one that's doing this. And so today I've got Tanya Hunt with me, and she and I are just going to have a conversation about our personal experience with some of this, some fasting experiences, and I'm excited that she's here and willing to share a little bit. Tanya, would you just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, your passion for a specific part of the world, all that kind of stuff?
Okay, thank you so much, Jason, and thanks for the invite. Not only am I honored to be asked to be here today, but to be a part of the Harpeth Hills congregation has been just an amazing blessing. Mm-hmm. I moved back to Nashville in May of 2021, and I grew up here, though. Went to Ezel Harding, and so this is home. This is home. But I work for an organization here, Hope for Haiti's Children. I've been doing that for 17 years. We're based out of Cincinnati, but we also have a Nashville office, so it was a perfect fit to move back here. But Hope for Haiti's Children has 10 schools, 10 Christian schools in Haiti, and two orphanages. Mm-hmm. And so we're educating kids and teaching them about Jesus and educating them at the same time to, in hopes that they'll become leaders in the country of Haiti, which so desperately needs that. Wow. And just to grow them up and to break that cycle of poverty, yeah, you know, that they wow, endure.
Wow. 17 years. So Haiti's been through a lot in those 17 years. You've seen a lot of heartache and change, and you know, that country, I just think about the different kinds of things with storms and earthquakes and political things, and it's happened in 17 years, and you've been there through that whole thing.
I've really, truly loved it. I love the people there. They inspire me more than I could possibly ever give back to them. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from them, and just honored to be able to serve in that way. Wow. But you're right; they have endured so many things.
Much.
And every time I get to go, which hasn't been as often as I used to go, mm-hmm, just because of the pandemic and the political unrest that they experienced there. I am going in 3 weeks, though, so just for
there
a few days. So
there
looking forward to getting back. But nevertheless, they always, I just always get more from that experience than I ever could hope to give.
I certainly get that.
Yeah.
So neat. Thanks for doing what you do
and
the way that you do it. So fasting, we were talking before we kind of push record on this, that I got this great voicemail from somebody that I love and respect a lot, who was essentially saying what I was just saying a few minutes ago. Man, I never grew up talking about fasting. What is this all about? I'm listening to the podcast. And she was asking just some really practical questions about when somebody has fasted for a long time, you know, maybe they historically fasted a long time, not necessarily at one time, but somebody that's done this a lot.
Right.
Do they just shut down? Do they fast altogether from food? Do they do this and not do anything? Their whole day they just spend in prayer and scripture reading, or can they go about their day? It was just some great questions. And I found myself, you know, thinking, man, let's talk a little bit about that, and again, share a little bit of our experiences. And one of the conversations that Tanya and I were having again before we pushed record, you know, there's this temptation when it comes to fasting to think that somehow if I'm showing God how serious I am, and so he's going to respond to me because I did this. It's almost like I'm putting God in my debt. I don't think that we would ever say it that way, but it's sort of like, hey, God, look how serious I am about what I'm asking for, or how serious I am about my relationship with you, and look on me with favor. And I find myself drawn again to the part of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talks about fasting. It's just a couple of verses in chapter 6 of Matthew. And in 16, he says, when you fast, which Dave Clayton said, it's not if you fast, it's when you fast. There is something to that, I think. When you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disguise their faces to show others that they're fasting. And I tell you, they've received their reward in full. That was the part that caught me, their reward. They're doing this for something. He said, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And it's that part about reward. What is the reward of fasting? Because honestly, especially when you're talking about food, if you're doing a food fast, really any fast, abstaining from anything that you would normally want, is not something that you would sign up for readily. You know, there's got to be some reason for it. What is the reward of fasting? I was reading something that Dave Clayton wrote. Again, a couple of these podcasts were a conversation with Dave, and I'll mention this is the resource I was just reading it in. It's a book called Revival Starts Here that Dave put together for the Awaken movement that happened in Nashville several years ago, and it's by discipleship.org. It's a great resource if you're looking for a little bit deeper read. It's a short, very accessible book, but very practical about fasting. And he said, one of the things he said in there is, if you want to shut down conversation in your small group or your community, suggest that you do a fast together and everyone will stop talking and not want to have anything to do with it, because it's not something we would normally sign up for. So why fast? So Tanya, why are you deciding to fast, or why have you decided to fast historically?
Well, you know, I'm going to say this has been a journey, because in the very beginning, I think I might have stepped into it, in all transparency, with a need, a prayer request, a dedication to fasting, and to get closer to God, to understand some things about it. So, you know, I had what I'm going to say is it's the verse that's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
And so there's a desire of my heart. There's a need that I had in mind. And I find it amazing as you fast, though, how you're quiet, you're still, you're drawing closer to God, and He sometimes corrects your thinking.
Yeah.
And so I found I had a bit of a course correction to where actually yesterday was in class, Laura Day's teaching a class, and she was talking about Abraham and talking about his sacrifice of Isaac and Isaac's precious son, this one thing that he's going to sacrifice. And she asked us, she says, what are your Isaacs? What are your things you love, that you treasure, that you hold dear? Is it people? Is it a thing? Is it something you're hoping for? And then she said, have you been worshiping the gift or the giver?
Wow.
And it kind of hit me.
Yeah.
Because the first part of that verse is delight yourself in the Lord.
That's right.
That is worshiping the giver.
Yes.
And so I had a little bit of a course correction. And then also, you know, Jennifer, your wife, was in class. And as we discussed it, she says, we all have to remember that God is for us. God is for us.
Yes.
It's not he's not trying to trip us up here.
Yeah, that's right. Or withhold.
Yes.
He's not trying to withhold.
He's for us.
Yes.
And I sometimes have to remind myself of that. You know, it's like a daily recommitment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think I went into it a little bit of thinking, God, if I do this, then I need this as an answer or revelation, or I need the whisper, I need to hear from you, those types of things.
Yeah.
And I just, to abide in Him and to spend that time with Him, he's revealing things, and it's just been a beautiful
That's really
thing,
good.
beautiful journey.
It is that delighting in the Lord, mm-hmm. yeah, not in what He can provide.
That's right.
But simply in Him. That's so important. There's so many different motivations for fasting.
Yes.
I was just, again, back in this book that Dave wrote, he mentioned several times when people fast. He said Moses fasted for 40 days before receiving the Ten Commandments. David fasted for 7 days as he prayed for his sick son, which is kind of what you're describing.
Right.
Ezra fasted as he mourned for the sins of his community. Esther fasted for the safety of her people. And she asked everyone else to
yes.
do it with her. Daniel fasted for 21 days as he sought clarity on a vision from God. The Apostle Paul fasted after his radical encounter with Jesus. The leaders of the church in Antioch fasted. And so you see all these different motivations.
Yes. Yeah.
For, you know, so, but again, it's not so that God will see us and see, oh, they're really serious. I better pay attention. Because He's already paying attention.
Right, yes.
And He's not wanting to withhold. And He is for us,
mm-hmm.
but something happens in the process of fasting that realigns. That was one of the words that Dave used a couple weeks ago, is alignment. It realigns our heart, which is what you were describing. It's like I begin to see what really matters and what doesn't,
yes.
and my longings start to change. I think that's it.
Yes, yes.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You could hear that as, if I do whatever this thing is called delighting,
mm-hmm.
then I'm going to get whatever I want. But it may also probably more readily mean, if you make God your delight,
yes.
He's not going to withhold Himself from you.
Mm-hmm.
And He becomes the desire of your heart, and He changes the desires of
exactly.
your heart. He gives you desires. He gives you new
right.
desires, right? Not He gives you what you desire, but He gives you the desires of your heart. He changes what you desire.
We have to be open to know that He may realign those desires
yeah.
and to accept those
mm-hmm.
if that's what indeed happens.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So
you said earlier you've been journaling as a part of fasting and noticing some things. What are you noticing as you're fasting, and how are you fasting right now, if you don't mind sharing, without putting ashes on your head and acting like, you know, but it is good to share. This is what I'm trying to do. Right.
Well, I really struggle with the practicality of how am I going to do this? I needed
mm-hmm.
to be realistic. And so I did a little research and I found out I'm doing the Daniel fast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
explain what that is for those that might
kind
not know.
Of no meat, no carbs. So
mm-hmm.
no pasta, no, let's see. Yeah, let's see. No meat, no pasta, no dairy. No
Ooh.
Dairy.
No ice cream.
No ice
no
cream.
No cheese. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
And no hamburgers. You know,
oh,
that's
yeah.
going to be on my list when this is over. So,
yeah.
But interestingly enough, as I was eating yet another salad,
mm-hmm.
you know, for lunch, I was getting a little grumpy about it. Found myself the other day. And it just turned out I was doing the work I was working on was writing an article for our newsletter. And it was about the school lunch program in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing the sentences of these kids come to school, sometimes no breakfast. Because the parents send them because they know they're going to get lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't feed them breakfast. But most of these kids also go home and most likely there's no dinner either. So literally this is their only meal
wow.
at school each day. And the reality of that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Here
yeah.
I was being a tad grumpy about my lettuce, you know, and here we are. And I just thought, wow, the privilege
mm.
that I have, the, you know, what I see in Haiti often is the dependence
yeah.
That people have on the Lord. And the fact that I become so self-sufficient or
mm-hmm.
believing that I'm so self-sufficient
mm-hmm.
that I can take care of my own needs or that, yeah, that I'm in control of things.
Mm.
And for them, it's just, it truly is give me this day my daily bread.
Yeah.
And in addition to all sorts of other needs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dependence that they have on the Lord, it's a beautiful thing, but it also convicts me
yeah.
because I've lost that.
Mm.
And I recognize the humility that I need to have more than I do.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
it really it's like it helps you see with clarity the difference between needs and wants.
Yes.
And I'm not really good at that. I often confuse the two. And even when it comes to your own body, when you're fasting specifically from food or some kinds of food, your body tells you, I need this.
Right.
When sometimes it's just that you want this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that snack that you're craving,
right,
or even that meal that you're craving, it's easy for me to become convinced, I need that. My body's going to shut down if I
right,
don't have that.
Right.
And when you push through that, you realize, actually, I didn't need that. I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you have to eat. I mean,
yes,
we're made to
yes,
be
yes.
consuming people that have to eat.
Right.
But you don't. I don't have to eat as much as I eat. I don't have to eat when I think. Sometimes I think I'm hungry. I'm not really needing food.
Right.
Again, it just kind of realigns, what do I really need here?
Mm-hmm.
What is the core to my being? And what is it that I just want and I get confused with? And,
right.
And then, of course, you make the jump to, what do I deserve? You
true,
know,
yes.
I've convinced myself this is what I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see what other people live with or don't have,
right,
you realize, actually, I don't deserve anything
right.
that I think I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Or what other revelations have you come to?
Well, you know, as I've journaled,
mm-hmm.
There's been two other things, I think. One is the beauty of silence and
mm-hmm.
being still.
Yeah.
I'm busy. We're all busy, you
yeah.
know. And as I've sat and not turned on the TV and journaled and prayed and read
mm-hmm.
through the scripture, I've noticed, for one thing, I've noticed I have a clock that ticks loudly
mm-hmm.
in my room, you know, that I had not
noticed before. Yeah.
But it's in that stillness that it becomes kind of like a precious time.
Mm.
It's rich. And as I write, I find that I'm writing things that they're impacting my heart,
mm-hmm.
you know. One of the things, too, is I started doing some research about fasting because I, too, have not done this often. I've just here and there, but
mm-hmm.
small. This is the most.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most
mm-hmm.
I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really been appreciative for Harpeth Hills kind of encouraging this.
Mm.
And to know that others are doing it, too,
yeah,
it kind of holds you accountable.
Exactly. That's what's so neat.
Yeah.
When you're doing it in solidarity and community, that's why I think we're sharing some of this, even though Matthew 6 says, hey, don't act like you're fasting.
And yeah, no, don't
but,
tell.
But there is something about doing it, knowing others are doing it with
oh,
you.
Oh, it is. It truly is. But one of the things I've noticed is that it is a weapon for spiritual warfare.
Mm.
And I just was really impacted by that because I feel like, you know, the spiritual forces of evil are active
yeah.
in our world.
Yes.
And I can remember a time that I was going through a lot personally.
Mm-hmm.
It was impacting me deeply. It was impacting my kids. And I actually happened to be in Haiti on a trip. This
mm-hmm.
was a few years ago. And I was talking to our president of our organization who's Haitian. And he's planted churches all over Haiti. Just an amazing man. And so I asked him. His name is John Terrard. And I said, John Terrard, I said, I want to ask you something. I said, I just feel like Satan's on my heels. I said, it's been one thing after another, and I've lost the ability to have the words to pray. I said, I'm so ashamed of that. But I'm just being honest. I'm just out of words.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so I feel like it's Satan. I don't know. I said, but I've been reading in the scriptures about the devil and his, you know, that he is really out to get us. And
yeah.
he's trying to
yeah.
trip us up and
yeah.
find those weaknesses in us. And I said, what would you say that I do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Tanya, stop studying about that. He said, turn it to praise and prayer
wow.
and worship. Turn it around. Don't give him a foothold.
Wow.
Just don't give him a foothold. And that was just kind of so fasting being a weapon
yes.
against spiritual warfare reminded me that
Man.
there are many things we can that are weapons against spiritual warfare, but fasting is one of those.
No doubt. I find that to be so profound. I think we are conditioned, whether it's Western culture, whether it's post-Enlightenment, we are conditioned to believe that the answer is almost always more information. If I just had more answers, if I just had more information, I could make it all better, I could fix it. And you're saying sometimes it's not that you need more answers, it's that you need more abiding.
Yes.
You need more stillness. You need more awareness.
Yes.
And awareness and information are not always the same thing, right? I mean, sometimes you can have all the facts and figures and you're totally unaware.
Right.
And other times you don't have all the answers, but you've got an awareness of yourself, an awareness of the forces that are around you, that are beyond yourself, awareness of God's presence, that fasting is a part of. It creates this space and this margin and this awareness, even for those who aren't fasting from food,
right.
If they're fasting from other things, social media.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is, Netflix.
Yes.
That it's creating in them, in all of us, an awareness of how things really are in the world and how we personally are responding to those things in the world. You become much more aware of the clocks, ticking in your room, but also of the heartbeat in your own chest.
Yes.
And how it is that you're thinking. Silence and fasting have a way of exposing some of our darkest places.
Yes, they do. They do.
I've heard a lot of people talk about when they get silent and still, the voices that we have tried so hard to distract ourselves from suddenly become, you can't ignore them.
No.
And the same thing with fasting. You feel, you get angry, you get hangry,
kind
of stuff. And you start to feel these things welling up in you, and you realize that's not really even about the lack of food or the lack of whatever I'm abstaining from. It's also that that's latent within me and just can be awakened by those things. It can also be awakened by the person that cut me off in traffic or the person who said the thing that I didn't like. Fasting has a way of sometimes awakening and helping us become aware of some of the dark places that sit latent in us just waiting to be exposed and to come alive.
So true. And some of those qualities that I'm like, whew, Tanya, that's really selfishness in you. You know, it's kind of causing those to be, me be more aware of those types of things.
No doubt.
And I think that I'm going to walk away from this experience with a craving for more of them.
Mm.
Whether or not that's the Daniel fast or
right.
it's social media, it's something. It's going to be something. And I'm excited that the journey has begun.
Yeah.
Because now knowing what I know and knowing how biblical it is and how many examples there are that I will continue. There's, I'll take a break for a while.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're going to have to take
There's
a break.
Season.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking about that the other day. So here's Jesus saying, when you fast. But he's also the one that got accused of being a glutton and a drunkard.
Right.
So there were clearly times when he was not fasting. He wasn't always doing that. And so there are rhythms and this back and forth. But I love that you use the word journey because I think it is a long goal, not a short goal.
Right.
It's beautiful when in the moment of fasting you have these revelations, these epiphany moments or these, I felt the presence of God moments. And that certainly can and sometimes does happen, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you fasted for 40 days and all you felt was hungry, but it's a journey. There's something happening in you that is longer term than just those 40 days.
Yes.
And it's planting seeds or cultivating in you something that you may not even see the fruit of until much later.
Right.
And may not even associate it with that time of fasting.
Yes.
But it began there.
Right. And, I sat there and I thought, have I heard from God? And maybe the answer is no. But one of the things I have found so far is that I've had a few things happen that were answers to prayer. And I thought, I immediately attributed it to God in an answer to prayer. Mm. And I think if I'd been busier, I'm not sure I would have noticed
wow.
it. I'm not sure I would have said, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He yeah. answered that. And that doesn't always happen. You know, like you said, sometimes we pray and we pray for years. Mm-hmm. And we don't, like you said, in our lifetime, we may not see that result. Mm-hmm. But I have had a couple of things happen and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
That was fast.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but it may be that he's doing those types of things all the time. It's just that I'm noticing them because I'm taking more time
wow.
to be with him.
Yes.
You know,
that's
and
so
he's kind
good.
Of disclosing
yeah.
it to me quickly
yeah.
because I'm listening and open to it more.
I love that you have brought that up several times, that it's not just been about I'm not eating meat and cheese
right.
and
right.
It's been about I'm also trying to abide.
Yes.
I'm trying to create a different rhythm to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And fasting is giving me the opportunity, the excuse maybe,
mm-hmm.
the margin to do that. Again, my friend, he called and said, well, people who have historically done this, have done this a lot, do they just stop their life altogether and just pray and read scripture all day? I mean, what does this look like? And I think there are seasons for that
sure.
where you do for a day or for maybe an extended period of time, carve out margin to just be still
yes.
and silent. But you don't have to always do that. And,
no.
and certainly you're not going to do that for 40 days or however
mm-mm.
long you're fasting.
Well.
So there has to be this natural rhythm like you're describing of these moments where you sit and you're quiet and you're still. And you don't even have to say anything.
Right.
Some of my closest relationships are the ones where there's enough permission that you can just be together and not say anything.
So true. Yes.
You know, it's the conversations. It's the people that I'm less comfortable with that I feel like we've got to fill every space with words because
yeah.
it feels uncomfortable.
Right, right.
But some of the people that I know and love the best, I can just be there with them. And no word needs to be spoken.
Oh, that's such a good point. That's so true.
And to be able yeah. to have that relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where you just abide and listen and know he's there. And you do more listening than talking.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Any other encouraging words that you would have for those who either are fasting and they're going, man, we're what, 20 days or so into
right,
this,
halfway.
This journey with our church family? So maybe what encouraging words would you have for somebody that is doing this? Or maybe someone who's saying, you know, I haven't, but there's still about 20 days left. I'd like to start, you know.
Well, sure. And, you know, I think even 40 days was like, wow, 40 days. You know, maybe I can do it for three.
Right, yeah.
And you know, but as I've done some research, that's indeed what a lot of people do. Just
mm-hmm.
a day or
yes.
3 days or
yes.
or just a meal. You know, just a midday
yes.
meal or something. Or, like you said earlier, it doesn't have to be food, you know.
Right.
But
right.
to just give up something and with the focus on, substituting that for some
That's
time
right.
with the Lord and just a pause.
That's right.
You know,
just something that creates those
yes.
daily reminders. I loved Rubel was talking about on Ash Wednesday, the night of Ash Wednesday. He was talking about what he's decided to abstain from is something that he reaches for all the time.
Right, right.
And he knows that when he is going to reach for it, just out of instinct, out
mm-hmm.
of habit, that it's going to constantly create a reminder.
Right.
Of what he's doing and why he's doing it and to take a moment
mm-hmm.
and to be still. And so, yeah, it could be just for a day. It could be
sure.
just something small.
Right.
But something that creates that. Reminder.
A little bit of margin in your day.
That's right.
For him. Just a little bit.
It feels like we don't have enough of.
Right.
So true.
Yeah. Be still and know.
Be still and know.
Yep.
Tanya, thank you.
Thank you
so
Jason.
Much for
Thanks.
This conversation and for who you are and for what you're doing in Haiti.
Oh,
and,
my pleasure. My honor.
We're going to continue to walk this journey out as a church family. Again, I love that word journey. And Easter's coming. It's feeling like it's closer now than it certainly was and right around the corner. And before we know it, we'll be celebrating and you'll be eating cheese and meat again.
Oh, I will. Juicy hamburger. Here
we'll
I come.
We'll celebrate. I love it. And that's the fourth in this series of podcasts. If you haven't listened to the first three, you can go back and find them on our website. We sat down with Dave Clayton for a couple of those and David Flo. And then, of course, today, Tanya Hunt. Next week, we will have a podcast with Harold Bigham, and looking forward to the conversation there. But thanks for being a part of this journey with us and for continuing to engage. And Easter's coming. Let's be ready.